on the Spirit Wings of Love. This is the month of love, the designated month of love at Unity of Dallas, and really every month is the month of love here, but certainly this has been a month of love. There's a old Yiddish adage that says, if we spend all of our time thanking God for all the good, then there would be no time to weep for the bad. I love that. And isn't there a lot of good going on at Unity of Dallas? There really is. Yeah. Part of the good is the band that just left. We wanted to feature the band, and that's why, if you're here for the first time, you might wonder why we had such a long standing ovation for the band, but I could get used to this back here. I love these guys because, like Chaplain Ida said, music can touch our hearts in ways that sometimes words can't. And so can these critters, I believe. These little furry creatures. This is our last as we, this Sunday sort of culminates the month of love for us. And this one is even wearing its heart on its whatever sweater, yeah, this is right here. Somebody counted today, over 1,100 of these guys. And as you know, these are going to three different charities after today, including the Dallas Children's Advocacy Center, the Family Gateway Charity, and the Dallas Police Department. And I know someone's from the press here today that's doing a story. Stay. Stay, there you go. There you go. It's magic. We have been getting to the heart of the matter this past month. Talked about love transforms, how love transforms our life and how love transforms the world. And then last week we heard from Michael Gott about how faith is a first step, that the importance of faith in what we do. And today I'm talking about getting to the heart of revealing wholeness within us. Wholeness. And Ernest Holmes said that healing is not creating a perfect idea or a perfect body. Instead, it is revealing the idea that is already perfect. So it speaks to that perfect idea, that divine spark that is within us and is perfect. And when we start feeling not so perfect, we have to stand vigil with our thoughts, and like Ralph Waldo Emerson said, stand guard the portals of your soul. All portals, standing. So what that could look like for you is that when you begin to think something that really is not serving you, a thought that is getting you in angst, just to be able to stop that connection right there. Cancel that. Cancel. And begin anew. Renew the mind. You may have seen this book being carried around campus the past few weeks. It's called You Are the Placebo by Dr. Joe Dispenza. And this is, of course, the spring book study book. And they asked me back in May when I got here, way back in the day, last May, which book would I like to have as a spring book study? And I astutely said, what book study? And they said, the book study we do in March. And I'm like, you mean next March? And they said, what book would you like us to use? And made me laugh, because I said, I don't know what I'm talking about next week, much less what book we should use next March, next spring. But lo and behold, it's here. March is here, 2017. And when she asked me that, when Louise asked me that, it was only a few seconds till it popped up. Whoa, right on cue there, Louise. Come on in. I would like to think we rehearsed that. That was beautiful. Do a Chanel pivot, slide back, double half turn there on the runway. But anyway, I told her as it came up, just seconds after she asked me and I said that, this book is what popped into my mind. so heavily, because I love the way it bridges spirituality with science, with even quantum physics. And he is a research genius. He's just researched these cases on the idea of the placebo. And begging the question, can thought truly change our external? Can the inner change the external? Can by thought alone we have healing? And through the book, there's tons of cases, documented cases in research, and even functional scans of the brain and what happens during meditation, and all of these things that point to, yes, you are the placebo. And of course, he goes into the sort of the documented cases about the placebo used in the medical world, where you might be part of a trial study, and you're given either the real medicine or you're giving the sugar pill that is the placebo. And it's so fascinating how many times people have had the same results on the fake pill. There's also something called a nocebo. Did you know that? A nocebo. There's a story in here about a guy who had just went through a breakup with his girlfriend, very depressed to the point that he wanted to commit suicide. And he had been taking antidepressants, but they weren't really working. So he went back to the doctor where he was told, we have a trial going on. And so he went home with the new prescription, and he took 29 of these. And then his blood pressure dropped really, really low. His heart rate dropped, his pulse, everything. So they rushed him to the hospital, and as he was arriving at the hospital, he decided, I want to live. I want to live. And he started thinking all these thoughts about what his life could be and those things that were important to him in life. Got into the hospital, and they got a hold of the bottle that he had taken, called up the doctor. The doctor looked at the code on the bottle and said, oh, those are just a placebo. And he found that out, and he instantaneously, almost, his pulse returned, his blood pressure returned, everything returned to normal, when just minutes before they were telling him he was in big, big, big trouble. Fascinating. So that was a nocebo. How we, sometimes we mess with our minds. There's a quote about our birthright here from Dr. Ellen Jensen, a book called Health is Our Birthright, where she addressed the power of thoughts. The body is a magnificent creation of God. It comes equipped with an intelligence and powerful energy to heal itself when given the opportunity. Keeping the mind free of the debilitating thoughts is necessary to access this energy and intelligence. So today I think we need to stand in gratitude for this infinite intelligence. In fact, affirm with me, I am grateful for this perfection. Together, I am grateful for this perfection. The Apostle Paul said a verse, and I had to use the whole nother version over there, but every week I have to say one thing that, make sure you're still awake here. Okay. Apostle Paul asked, know ye not that ye are the temple of the living God? Know ye not that ye are the temple of the living God? Some things just sound better with the King James Version. It's the only version that will do. Look at your neighbor and say, know ye not. Know ye not. Yeah. Ye are the temple of the living God. I would ask each one of you today, do you know that you are housing, that you are a temple of the living God? And do you treat your body that way? Yeah. All the time. Not at all. Yeah. I mean, there's days I get up, I don't feel so temple-ish. I'm not feeling it, and I just eat whatever I can quickly grab, and exercise goes out the window. I mean, I'm not thinking so much in that moment about the temple. And, you know, the temple back in the biblical days, really, you think about the temples, and even up till today, the temples, how they cherished them, and they revered them, and they took care of them, and they just treated them so well. Is that how we treat our temples? If it's good food inside?
If it's good,
then
it's better than, well, it's okay, because it's good for you.
Yeah. Let's talk more about that later, yeah. It's kind of like the comic strip, Hagar the Horrible, that I saw, where he goes into the doctor and he says, "What can I do to make me feel better?" And the doctor says, "Well, for starters," and his name is Dr. Zook. Dr. Zook says, "For starters, you can stop drinking, stop overeating, stop staying out late, and you could start exercising." So he gets home and his wife comes to him and his wife says, "What did the doctor say?" What happened at the doctor? And Hagar says, "Well, I found out that it might be time for a new doctor." That's what happened. If you look up wholeness in the dictionary says that wholeness comprises the full quantity of human nature, body, mind, and spirit. That's why if you walk around here during the week, we are more than a church. We're a spiritual campus, and we look at ideas to how can we improve our minds and our bodies also. Because Charles Fillmore said, the co-founder of Unity, he said that we are part and inseparable from a universal wholeness. Inseparable from a universal wholeness. So at the core of our being, at the spiritual level of our physical being, there's a pattern of perfection. There's a pattern of perfection. And that's true. That's true. No matter what the appearances may be. So no matter what you may see after being out all night in the mirror the next day, or no matter what somebody else might be telling you, there is a pattern of perfection there. Now, in True Synchronicity, this book also is about this idea of being transformed through wholeness. And because it's even called Be Transformed. And this is our Lent book, the Unity Lent book for 2017. And I really highly recommend that you grab one on the way out. You can throw a buck in the basket or 50 cents or nothing. I don't care. I just grab one. They're at the next desk or they're at the SEE desk and in the book nook. Listen to this. Wholeness takes place one moment at a time, one breath at a time, one hour, one day, one experience at a time, as we actively demonstrate love. From our spirit self, we imbue every cell in our body and mind with pure love and experience our wholeness in the whole of life. That, you know, our first Lent Sunday will be next Sunday, and of course there's Mardi Gras this week, Tuesday, and Ash Wednesday. It's Wednesday, so take this intention of wholeness into the next Lent season and get a head start by grabbing one of those books. There is really nothing that ever has to be healed. Only wholeness be revealed is what the book is about. And I'm not going to take the Pollyanna approach that there is no such thing as sickness. That, you know, sickness is just all in the head or the pain, but I urge you to consider the fact that the pain that you may be experiencing could be part of the picture of achieving wholeness. In other words, There's an analogy. If you are living down in the basement of your house where it's dark and cold, then that's not the wholeness of you. It may be dark, a little bit painful down in the basement of that house, but really the house is much bigger than that. There's warmth and light in the home. So that could be the same as in our mind and in our practice of wholeness. Now, in our practice of wholeness, suppose your through meditation, through prayer, and through your wholeness practice, it may come to you that, yes, you need to go get a flu shot. That may be what you are called to do, or certain medication, and that's okay. I mean, you should honor that if that's what you are led to do. There's a book by Carolyn Mace called The Anatomy of the Spirit, and she points out that the goal of becoming spiritually conscious is not to outwit death or to even become immune to disease. To not outwit death? It's interesting. She's a medical intuitive. The goal instead is to recognize that even in pain or illness, there is a message of truth to discover. So if there's a message of truth to discover, then that might be the trigger for you for a spiritual transformation. Does that make sense? A spiritual transformation. And so Paul talks about this idea of renewal. The Apostle Paul talks about renewing the mind. And once again, only King James Version will do for this particular verse. He says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God." Be transformed. And I think that to truly be transformed, that and to think about what impacts our body. Well, I was thinking about the last time I got sick. I was just having this thought about the last time I got sick. And I always tell people I never get sick. So I thought I was going to have to go hide in the closet when this happened, when I got sick. And I got a little mad. I was like, I got things to do. I can't be getting sick. You ever have that happen to you? You just get a little bit angry about it. So eventually what I challenged myself to do was the WWJD thing. Not what would James do, but what would Jesus do? And I think to have this wholeness, that I need to be into the mind of Christ, the Christ mind. Pray thy kingdom come is something that Jesus, when he talked about it, he meant it literally. Pray thy kingdom come. So kingdom come, kingdom in this moment, what would that look like? What would Jesus do if that sickness existed? So we are able to tap into that Christ mind, that Christ light, to work towards our wholeness and our healing. I like the link here that Joe Dispenza does with this idea, and as far as how he researched this becoming true. He says, the latest research supports the notion that we have a natural ability to change the brain and body by thought alone. So that it looks biologically like some future event has already happened. Because you can make thought more real than anything else. You can change who you are from brain cell to gene, given the right understanding. So making thought more real than anything else. And he talks about being able to imagine this future situation, this future idea of maybe being well, being whole, but bringing it into that very moment and making it as real as anything else. Magical things begin to happen in our body, in our balance of our life and our health. On page 46, I'll bookmark this little point here. It says, although it may seem incredible that your mind could actually be that powerful, the research of the past several decades clearly points to a few empowering truths. What you think is what you experience, and when it comes to your health, that's made possible by the amazing pharmacopoeia that you have within your body that automatically and exquisitely aligns with your thoughts. This miraculous dispensary activates naturally occurring healing molecules that already exist within your body, delivering different compounds designed to elicit different effects in any number of different circumstances. Of course, this raises the question, how do we do it? And of course, that's what we discuss at Unity every week. How do we do it? And he goes into examples how to do it. And certainly meditation plays that key role. But how interesting, our bodies are miracles. That our body, almost like a pharmacy, can take what it needs to heal something going on within. It's incredible. And that our thought can affect that as well. Pretty, pretty amazing. Myrtle Fillmore, of course, many of you know her story, but we are spiritual beings and we each have a built-in capacity for wholeness. So that's what we're discussing today, that we are spiritual beings at our core. And she's the co-founder of Unity, who survived tuberculosis using this affirmation, I am a child of God, and therefore I do not inherit sickness. So it's an affirmation and a denial, the denial part being what is not true. This is not true about me. I do not inherit sickness. I am a child of God. And, of course, the Fillmores, here's a picture of Myrtle Fillmore at her desk in 1928. And it's so interesting about her way of making sense of wholeness as it relates to spirituality and the balance that it takes. And by balance, I mean mind, body, spirit. Mind, body, soul. All three of those being balanced. If I don't feel in flow, if I wake up and I don't feel in flow or something's going on, I've got to stop and say, where am I out of balance right now? And take that into consideration. There's a video I want to show you a quick couple minutes here on What the Bleep, the movie's coming up, because it shows you, I love the graphics of how it shows, like, down at a cellular level, how your thoughts and really your balance is affecting your life. The cells are pretty cute, actually, in this graphic. But the cell, you'll notice one cell kind of getting, beat up. One cell is getting beat up by another cell, and that's to represent how she is beating herself up and beating her cells up with her thoughts. Okay, so let's roll this.
Each cell is definitely alive, and each cell has a consciousness, particularly if we define consciousness as the point of view of an observer. There is always the perspective of the cell. The cell knows where it is, the cell knows where it's going, the cell knows what proteins it's making, the cell knows whether it's about to divide or whether it's in a program to stop dividing. In fact, the cell is the smallest unit of consciousness in the body.
I'm hungry.
The brain is made up of tiny nerve cells called neurons. These neurons have tiny branches that reach out and connect to other neurons to form a neural net. Each place where they connect is integrated into a thought or a memory. Now, the brain builds up all its concepts by the law of associative memory. For example, ideas, thoughts and feelings are all constructed and interconnected in this neural net, and all have a possible relationship with one another. The concept and the feeling of love, for instance, is stored in this vast neural net. But we build the concept of love from many other different ideas. Some people have love connected to disappointment. When they think about love, they experience the memory of pain, sorrow, anger, and even rage. Rage may be linked to hurt, which may be linked to a specific person, which then is connected back to love. We know physiologically that nerve cells that fire together wire together. If you practice something over and over again, those nerve cells have a long-term relationship. If you get angry on a daily basis, if you get frustrated on a daily basis, if you suffer on a daily basis, if you give your rewiring and reintegrating that neural net on a daily basis, and that neural net now has a long-term relationship with all those other nerve cells called an identity. Every time we interrupt the thought process that produces a chemical response in the body, every time we interrupt it, those nerve cells that are connected to each other start breaking the long-term relationship. We're in completely new territory in our brain. And because we're in completely new territory, we're rewiring the brain, literally reconnecting to a new concept.
Myrtle Fillmore said that if our body does not feel like getting out of bed in the morning, then perhaps our spirit doesn't either. So it's interesting how we rewire our brains every day. And I like that about practice. He was talking about practicing. What are we practicing with our thoughts? I was writing some notes for today, yesterday at Starbucks, and I met this guy. His name is Austin, and Austin is from California. But after about 45 minutes of sitting there, I mean, we're only like this far apart. I mean, but you know, at Starbucks, and everybody's just kind of in their own zone. And I certainly was. And he was just sitting like right here, and I couldn't help but to notice. I kept noticing his drawings here. His drawing was of, I was admiring his drawings because I have trouble painting within numbers. Cancel that thought. Cancel. But he was drawing actually the wiring and there's 87 billion, I know you know this, neurons in the brain, right? So he was drawing these things and pathways, and I was like, what are you doing? And he tells me he's in biomechanics class and studying the brain. And I was like, have you ever heard of Unity of Dallas? Because we're talking about this. And he said, yeah, in May I'm getting into neuroplasticity. And he wants to be a neurosurgeon. And so he got to talking about how with new learning and new understanding that every day that we rehardwire our brain. I thought that was pretty, pretty incredible. So what does it take? It takes practice. Charles Fillmore right here says, the first step to spiritual healing is to believe that health is possible through absolute faith. So we talked about that last week. But he says, spiritual health requires balance between activity and introspection. What's introspection? Looking within, that's right. Healing tools are prayer, meditation, study, reflection, and supportive activity. So supportive activity can also be the people that you're around. If they're giving you negative feedback, negative responses, then you got to tell them, stop it. Spiritual healing manifests as we open to our own natural state of health. Okay, so that takes looking beyond appearances then. Looking beyond appearances. And we think about appearances all the time. In between the 9 o'clock service and this one, I was up and I got to get the Pandora that has no ads on it. Pay the $5 a month or whatever. Because there I am, I'm in the zone. And I'm kind of getting ready to meditate a little bit, and all of a sudden, it comes over the radio or the computer, ear hair. Are you the guy that they call Mr. Ear Hair? Are your friends going to tell you about ear hair? And it's such genius advertising because, you know, what did it make me do? I was standing at my desk, and I started going like that, you know? Think about, do I have ear hair? You know, so it's talking about this deal. And then I'm starting to wonder, what is this about? And it is about batteries. Duracell battery. Make sure there's a Duracell battery in your trimmer or something like that. And I'm like, well, what's the appearance of this commercial? What's going on here? So looking beyond the appearances that we were just reading about and having faith to do that. A willingness to take personal responsibility. We have to stop blaming others for what our thoughts and emotions are. A discipline is our thinking and our practice. Now, by the way, if we need to let somebody, I talked about this a couple of weeks ago, if we need to lay the responsibility of a situation at somebody else's feet, of course, communication. But we take responsibility. I'm going to take responsibility for how I feel and my thoughts that I have about any situation. And then a discipline in our thinking and in our practice. And that discipline is every day. It's that meditation. It was a great meditation in You Are the Placebo about to help us rewire and to have that practice. But also just a discipline to remember, what is the purpose of prayer? It's not necessarily to terminate sickness, but it could be to use that situation as a way to deepen our relationship to the divine. Absolutely. So the last story I want to tell before we go into a meditation is about my friend Trisha, because Trisha is the one who actually told me about this book, You Are the Placebo, back in 2015. And if you like the book, that's great. If you don't like the book, you can tell her because she's sitting right down here. Actually, raise your hand. There we go. No, thank you for showing me that book and letting me borrow it. I did return it, right? I think I did. Yeah, okay, good. But Trisha has, I love the laboratory that we are, like the laboratory of our minds. And this is a case study right here because Trisha ended up with an infection back in the 80s that was like a grapefruit size. And she went to the doctor, of course, but at this hospital, just everybody that was coming into the room was just so negative. They were like, if this happens, then this is going to happen. And if this happens, bleeding is going to happen. And it was just really a fearful situation. The energy. And then, of course, they told her that they were going to have to do a surgery. They were going to have to do a hysterectomy. They were going to have to do different surgeries. And so it's interesting what happened next. She could have went into a total fearful place. She could have went into a place of why me, could have went into a place of being mad at God. I mean, several type of human places that she could have gone. But something, because of her spiritual discipline and her work that she had been doing, told her that that wasn't quite right. There's something was just not right about this situation. So, in sort of like a made-for-TV movie, she snuck out of the hospital. She left. She left with this infection, and she ended up going to a hospital called Wildwood. And right when she walked in, she said it felt so different. Like healing was already happening, was her thoughts. Then the doctor talked to her and talked to her about why that surgery over there was a bad idea, that it could actually lead to bleeding and actually death, the surgery could. And they began to just overwhelm her with positivity. And at this hospital, they pray with you. They meditate with you. And they began treatments, but more of a holistic type of treatment, and they monitor her blood every hour to see what was going on, and within hours, and then within days, I mean, they use the word miracle. They use a lot of positive words, and she said that within hours, she started feeling much, much better, and then within 3 or 4 days, you were hiking a mountain near the hospital, and so that's an incredible healing story. And one that goes into what we're talking about here with thought alone and being spiritually disciplined. So I would like for us to do this before we close, just to get quiet, and we're going to do a little bit of a prayer and meditation for wholeness. Remembering that God is the answer in this very moment. Be willing to let yourself go into a higher place of thought, a higher vibration, more receptivity than ever before. I invite you to just let go allow yourself, give yourself permission to relax. Begin a steady breath. Allow yourself to go deeper with your breath. Nothing is against you. No one is harming you. In this very moment, you are safe. You are free. Through faith, we know that the mind is renewing in this very moment. Our bodies are renewing. We're not denying our physical body, but we're affirming that every organ and every action and function of the body is radiant with the perfection of God. We're affirming that there is an inner life of complete perfection that exists at the center of everything. I identify with the radiant life of divine being. I identify my physical body with my spiritual body, knowing that they are one and the same. Let's continue to take a deeper breath, seeing every organ and every action, every function of our body being in the rhythm of life. Being in the rhythm of life. Visualize and feel the radiant presence of the living spirit. Another breath, affirm there is perfection in every part of my being. There is perfection in every part of my being. Perfect circulation, elimination, wholeness, and completeness. Continue to affirm that perfect wholeness, perfect completeness in this next moment of silence. Kept in perfect health, perfect harmony, and perfect wholeness. Thank you, God. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Amen and amen. As we go forth this week, be strong, bring strength into your practice day to day today as you pick up your Lent booklet and just be disciplined. That book will be a guide. And then take in that positive energy through the power of thought and then emit that back out into the world, into everyone you're around, and ye will be transformed. Thank you. Amen.